I don't got a story for everybody. I wasn't prepared to actually have to start everything. I just had the lesson ready. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 4, and we'll get into today's lesson on. We only got today and one more week, so your foundation. We're almost to the last square. Footer should be set. Rebar is already in place, and we got one more. After today, we got one more block to go ahead and set, and then we got to let it sit and build on it. Today, we're going to talk about, and you should probably most likely know this passage, about forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of those things that we need, especially in our life as Christians, not just for us personally, but those that we deal with every day. Our friends, our family, our husbands or wives, or our people we don't even know, people we just meet. But forgiveness is a strong thing that Christians must have in their lives. Look there, your Ephesians 4, starting in verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may be minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Bitterness, forgiveness. We all deal with people that hurt us. You've either already been hurt, are being hurt, or going to be hurt. Everybody deals with somebody, I hate to use the word offending, because that seems to be the buzzword nowadays, but offend you. And as a Christian, we can't choose who will offend us, who will attack us, who will come at us, but we can choose how we deal with it and how we react. And as a Christian, that is the most important thing to your testimony, is how you react. Bitterness, when somebody attacks you, or when you hear something that offends you, bitterness is something that is very quick and easy that the devil uses. You can either get better or you can get bitter. You have two options. And honestly, the Bible here says you don't have two options as a Christian. Forgiveness is not an option. Christ does not say here in verse 26, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. There's no let it fester for a little while and let it happen, and then after a little while, then stop. God doesn't give us room to not forgive. Think of Jim Elliot. We know the story about the missionary and how five men were speared to death trying to reach those Aka Indians. And yet, not long afterwards, Elizabeth Elliot returns to that same group with her 10-month-old daughter. And the world will look at it as, what a waste. How can this happen? But Elizabeth Elliot says it this way: to the world at large, this was a sad waste of five young lives. But God has his plan and purpose in all things. The prayers of the widows themselves are for the Akas. We look forward to the day when these savages will return to us in Christian praise. How is that possible? How does a wife go with her husband to be missionaries, and those that they are trying to reach murder her husband and four other men? And she comes back and still tries to give them the gospel. How? That's by having forgiveness in that foundation. That's by knowing that, as she said, God has his plan and purpose in all things. Relationships in your home, in your church, in your work, those that aren't even saved, those that are saved are going to be needing you and me to have that foundation of forgiveness. Whether you're going through, like I said, whether you're getting through something that somebody's hurt you, or you're going to, just like tribulations, we always say that you're either in the valley, going up the top of the valley, or coming down the valley. You're always in a cycle. Somebody is going to offend you, and it's important for us to realize what we should do when that happens. And here in Ephesians, God gives us a pattern to deal with bitterness or dealing with that situation. So let's pray and we'll get into this lesson. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this morning, for a new day. Lord, it's a gift that you give us, and we shouldn't take it lightly. The air that you give us, the ability to wake up, Lord, we thank you for it this morning. We pray that you be with each and every one of us as we listen to your word today, that we realize the seriousness of having forgiveness, not as an option, but as a must, and not something that we just do because we're commanded, but because we realize where it's coming from. And I pray that you give me the words and use it to your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So what's important here? We see first, verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. The devil has many, many different darts, many different arrows that he uses in us. And one of the most that I think he uses, especially we see it today, is when you're in the weakest point, when you're vulnerable, he looks at it as a hurt spirit. We can use that in our vulnerable state and try to justify our what we're doing. When somebody hurts us, we're not exactly the most cognitive, most rational thinking beings around. The normal flesh comes up and says, all right, you hurt me, now I get to hurt you. You know, growing up as a boy, we were taught and learned that if somebody's going to pick a fight, I ain't going to start it, but I'm going to end it. That's flesh. But God says that's not the way that we should be when somebody attacks you. But Satan uses situations in our lives to cause us to get angry. He wants us to sin in anger. James 1:20 says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Getting angry and sinning never helps. It never makes the situation better. The Bible, think of this. Matthew Henry says, if we would be angry and sin not, we must be angry at nothing but sin, and we should be more jealous for the glory of God than for any interest or reputation of our own. That's the type of anger that is okay in the Bible, that Jesus portrayed. He was angry against sin, but sinned not. And that's what he's trying to say here is be ye angry, that's fine. Have righteous anger, but sin not. Benjamin Franklin said it this way, whatever is begun in anger ends in shame. Be aware, and God's trying to say that the devil will use anger to make you sin. But he doesn't just want you to anger and be sinning in that anger. He wants you to stay angry. And that's why God says the second part, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Ephesians 4:26 there. Satan recognizes that when you get angry and you let it sit, just like a pot of water on a stove, if you let it boil, when it first starts to heat up, it's just, you know, whatever. When it boils up and out. So he knows that letting you sit and fester on that anger is not good for you. It's not good for anything that you're going to do after that. And that's why God specifically said, do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Take care of the anger that you have. If you've sinned in your anger, take care of it. Don't let it continue because it will boil up and fester into bitterness. Think of this. A husband and wife were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. and a newly engaged man comes over to him and asks him for their best advice. And the husband said, we try to make sure we put this verse into practice. We never go to bed angry. And the young boy thought, wow, I need to make sure I do that and make sure I keep that in my mind. And then his wife said, the longest that we've ever not slept is about a week. Don't go to sleep with your wife, your husband. Don't let the day go on with a friend, with somebody you know, with anger in your heart. Because it causes bitterness. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. We need to check, is there a root of bitterness in us? Do you have something against somebody that every time you see them, man, I just something tweaks every time you see them? You may not think, oh, it's fine, everything's fine, but you avoid them every single time. You don't look at them. You don't talk to them. You've almost broken fellowship with them. That's a root growing, and you need to ask God to get it out. 2 Corinthians 2:10 says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgave also. If I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Paul's very good at making those, like, I want to do good, but if I don't do it, he's very good with making words sound very confusing. But the second verse is the key. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You have to first realize that Satan is going to use bitterness against you. He's going to, and a lot of times, you know, you deal with your weeds and stuff. You don't really see the root starting until there's a dandelion about that tall. All the grass is this tall, but the weeds are always here. I don't know what it is, but you try to plant a garden and everything, and the only thing that grows really well is the weeds. It's because we don't see those roots, and that's the way bitterness is in our lives. We don't see the roots started, or we just kind of glance over it and don't think anything of it until you've got this long stalk sticking out. Ooh, why did I snap at that person so quick? Because there's a root that's been festering in there, and we have to make sure it gets out. Someone once said, when you forgive, you set two people free, and one of them being yourself. We must reject Satan's temptation to sin and anger and to stay in anger. And we have to realize that's going to be something he uses. And that's why Paul says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Don't be surprised when somebody does something to you and Satan tries to make you angry. Don't be surprised. You should know what to do. So what do we do? Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. When somebody wrongs you, you have to realize it's an opportunity to experience God's grace. Look at it as an opportunity to experience God's grace, but then give that grace to them. We look here at verse 26, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And then verse 28 kind of seems like it's a random verse that got put in with nothing to deal with what we're reading. Let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. I think it's two reasons why it's in there. It makes sense, because when somebody steals against you, you originally, what are you going to react to that? But it's talking about the person that's stealing. Think of it this way. When somebody offends you, God gives you the ability to give them grace. And I think it's talking about withholding that grace. For we, that he may have to give him that needeth. That person that offended you needs God's grace. That person that offended you, you have the ability in your actions to show God, to show him God with the way that you react. And our actions are usually not the thing that we struggle with when somebody does something. The thing that we struggle with the most is our words, which is why verse 29 comes in. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. When we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, it's always going to come out in our mouths. What's down in the well is going to come up in the bucket. When you put a little bit of poison in a well, it poisons the entire well. When you have a little bit of bitterness in your heart, it ruins everything inside of you. James says it this way, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Pastor said it a lot of times. Bitterness is like taking poison to kill somebody else. There's never a good reason to be bitter. Sadly, we live in a culture that's really good at tearing things down with their words, with the way they do things. But as Christians, we ought to be busy rebuilding and bringing things back to life. It talks about edifying. That's to grow, to build up. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. There's no wiggle room there. There's no room for, well, you can backbite them real quick and then change focuses. No, it says no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Edification is something everyone needs. We all need edification. And as a Christian, we're ordained by God to be ministers of grace. That's our job. Think of what happens to somebody that has a bad day. Are they the most chipper person? It seems like that's everybody that works at the DMV. I don't know if it's a prerequisite or if it's just because you're working at the DMV, that's the way you get to be. Maybe it's after so many weeks being there that it molds your mind into being like that. But it seems like every time you go to two places, the DMV and luggage claims, at least the luggage claims, nobody's going there to say thanks for getting my luggage here on time. Nobody shows up for that reason. But when we have that in our mind, we have to realize we don't know what that person's been going through. We don't know what that person's dealing with. We don't know what their day has been. And honestly, it shouldn't really matter because it doesn't excuse the way that they're acting. But you as a Christian should choose the way you react to how they say words to you, act to you. Forgiveness and grace is a must for a Christian. Luke 4:22, Christ gives us the exact example. And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? John 7:46, the officers answered, never a man spake like this man. We should speak kind, wise, truthful words of encouragement to people. We should be talking grace to those. When we're at odds with somebody, the cliche thing is to, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I've said that. But we should be giving a piece of God's grace instead. Consider these hypothetical situations and think of how you would react to them. Somebody else gets promoted at work. Do you go over there and congratulate them? Or are you bitter that you didn't get it? Somebody, your boss is very unfair and it's a hard day. Do you grumble and gripe or do you go over and say, thanks for everything you do? Your child gets reprimanded at school or gets a bad grade, do you go talk to the teacher and tell them how wrong they are, or do you thank them for being a teacher? That's the difference between a Christian and the world, how a Christian should react. We have to learn to respond in biblical grace, no matter what the situation. Take care of the situation. Yeah, we're not saying, you see, when Jesus goes into the temple, he doesn't just, well, they're using this the wrong way. I just got to be gracious. No, he has a fit of anger, righteous, against the sin that is being happening in there. So we're not saying don't take care of the situation, but do it biblically and do it with grace. But then he switches tracks there in verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I think a lot of times Christians forget that you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. You go through your day and you talk the way you talk and you forget there's somebody living inside of you. And he specifically says, after dealing with your communication, he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Don't forget the Holy Spirit's living within you. And then he says why or how you grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Sinful speech will grieve the Holy Spirit. You notice there's a progression in that verse. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, that's inside. It starts with the inside. It starts with that root. And then it starts to boil that you know, the flame of your emotions and clamor. And then it boils out. And evil speaking. Clamor and evil speaking. We have to realize and understand the devices and the progression that unforgiveness takes. Starts inside and starts to boil, and then it starts boiling out. But if we, as Christians, see that first bubble of the boiling and turn the heat off, that's what he's trying to say, is don't allow it to get to the point where, well, here's a pot of water, and next thing you know, the noodles are boiling everywhere, and you have to clean up a mess. Oh, I don't know how that happened. I mean, think of marriages. Think of friendships that have broken up. It doesn't happen overnight. Nobody just wakes up and goes, yeah, everything was great yesterday. It's been great forever, but we need to get a divorce. It starts way back when and starts building and festering and boiling until it gets to the point that it boils over. And the problem is they didn't do verse 1. Or 26, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. They allowed the pot to boil and to fester and the bitterness to grow inside of them to the point that it is going to boil over. But then he ends it all in verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Sometimes we forget God's kind to us. We were talking yesterday. The breath that you just took, that's God's grace that you got. God's kind to you. The Bible says his mercies are new every day. Amen. We forget that. How's your mercy every day? Did you wake up with a chip on the shoulder? Or is your mercy new for the day? Is it filled and full? I don't think that verse talks about that it's new every day, meaning you get a new mercy. Yesterday you had this mercy, you get a new one. I think we're back up to 100% full capacity. It's renewed. Like one of those things where, you know, your ice maker, you empty it tonight, in the morning it's full of ice again. That's what Christ is trying to tell us here. God, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. A lot of times people say, you know, I can't forgive them. What they've done to me is too far, too much. I can't deal with that. You don't know what they did to me. But this verse takes us straight to the cross. Did you deserve salvation? The forgiveness that God gave us? No. In no way, shape, or form did we deserve the salvation that God made available to us. But yet he did it still. And that's why it's so important that words mean something. And it said, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Just like God forgave you when Christ died on the cross, that same mentality, that same forgiveness should be our mentality towards each other. Was there conditional forgiveness that God had when he gave you salvation? I'll give you salvation, but if you do this one thing, or if you don't stop doing this, I'm going to take that forgiveness away. God's forgiveness was unconditional. It had to be. Our forgiveness to each other has to be unconditional. Was what somebody did to you worse than what you do to Christ? No. And again, we don't know what everybody's dealing with. Be kind. An old saying says it this way. Be kind to everyone, for everyone you meet is fighting a battle. Forgiveness is something that doesn't just come natural. Just like any of these blocks on our foundation as a Christian, none of them come natural. We have to put effort and we have to work on building that. We don't just, you know, get to the point where just like, oh yeah, say whatever you want, I'm fine. It doesn't matter to me. That doesn't come natural. You look on YouTube, you look on anything, and there's tons of video of people getting offended by some of the worst things, some of the dumbest things. It's not our natural flesh thing to think of forgiveness. But we have to build it into that foundation. And then we see turn to Luke 23. We know this, but I want you to see it. Luke 23. Christ gave himself as an example always to what he taught. And there's no possible difference in how Christ handled the last things that he said on this earth before he died. Luke 23:34. As he's hanging on the cross, innocent, bloodied, beaten, in the worst possible place, verse 34, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. If Christ can forgive those that hung him on the cross, while he's hanging on the cross, I have to say that anything that we hold bitterness against somebody is stupid. And we have to think of it that way. Because if you don't think of it as, this is, what am I doing? This is dumb. Why am I angry at this person? If we don't have that attitude, you're going to allow Satan to get a foothold. You have to see it as, this life is nothing compared to what eternity is. If we're looking on this ground and not heavenly and upward, the flesh takes over. And Satan can get a foot very easily into our life. And when you hold bitterness in your life, do you think you're really good at being spiritual? If you're angry and mad at somebody and have bitterness against somebody, when you go down and pray, how well do you think that works? bitterness hinders your ability to be used by God. What's more important? The bitterness that you have that I'm going to get back at that person? Or do you want to be used by God? What's more important to you? God gave us no room for a different option. Our culture says that you do have an option. You can either get mad, you can get even, you can get bitter, or you can forgive them. And 90% of the time, they see forgiveness as giving up. You're giving up to getting back at them. You're giving up your rights. But God says that's not an option. Forgiveness isn't an option. It's forgiveness or you're disobeying me. He tells us that he gave us forgiveness and gives us grace in those times to give to others, to forgive others. And if we're merely cultural Christians, we'll choose not to forgive. We'll choose not to root out that bitterness in us. And we'll let it fester and we'll let it boil up until we have that dandelion that's 4 feet tall and you're looking at everything going, where'd you pop up out of here? And do you notice that weeds don't take long to grow that tall? Like you can go to bed and it's, just the greenery and a little tiny thing. And all of a sudden you wake up in the morning and it's this tall with a bright yellow thing to make sure you see it. Hey, look at me. It's not green and blending in with everything. It's making sure you see it. That's the way bitterness is in our life. You might go to bed and it's not that big of a deal. You're angry at somebody, but it's, whatever. Move on. And that's what I think a lot of Christians do. We say, move on, whatever. That's not forgiveness. Moving on just means I'm shoving it to the side. I haven't taken care of it. I've just shoved it away, and I'm not thinking about it anymore. The Bible says, root it up and get it out of there. But if we're a spiritual Christian, we'll purpose to build forgiveness in our foundation. And it should be to the point that you're going to do anything you can to get forgiveness, to give forgiveness. No matter what it takes to swallow your pride, to make it difficult, it doesn't matter. I'm going to make sure things are right. And we have to get to that point in our life that's the way we see the way everybody interacts with us. It's a chance to give God's grace, just like he gave me on the cross. Forgiveness. We got one more block in our foundation. Let's pray and we'll get ready for the next service. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today. Lord, for the gift that you've given us, that every day that we're able to breathe, that we're able to wake up, that we're able to be here. Lord, I pray we not take that for granted. And I pray that we not forget what you forgave us from. And as you have many examples in your word about a servant that was forgiven of all his debt and then goes and attacks those that owe him nothing. In comparison to what he owed you, I pray that we don't act that way, that we don't think of our bitterness, our slanders against us, our offenses that come against us as more important or higher than what you forgave us from. And if we don't forget that, if we do realize that what you forgave us is far greater than anything we could ever deal with here. Forgiveness should be the first option and the only option. I pray that you be with Brother Brian. Fill him with your spirit for the next message. Again, thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.